The Gross Profit Podcast is your one-stop shop on the path to profitability. Each week, we share authentic advice on the positive, practical steps you can take to make the company you love more profitable. If you're looking for a positive plan to help you avoid common spending mistakes, control costs, and increase your profits, then this is the place for you. I'm Ryan Cowden, and this week we're joined by James Kennedy and Garrett Carher. In this episode of the Gross Profit Podcast, James and Garrett discuss key performance indicators and how you can use them to improve performance in your business. When it comes to evaluating the performance of your company, you need to generate quality data and know how to make sense of it. It's easier than ever to generate the data, but the amount of data can sometimes be overwhelming. This is where your KPIs, your key performance indicators, come into play. When your leaders agree on what you will value, those indicators help you filter and analyze the data you have generated. The only question is, which KPIs are good and which ones are bad? On today's episode, you'll hear a robust definition of KPIs. A key performance indicator is a number chosen by your company that both measures your progress and guides your efforts. Next, we'll talk about how to set good KPIs. We'll go step by step through the SMART goal process and show how this process helps you assess your KPIs. Then we'll discuss the importance of leading and lagging indicators. By looking at these factors together, you'll be better able to understand cause and effect in your company. After that, we'll talk about what KPIs you should be thinking about. The answer will vary according to your field, but the key factor here is determining your own success factors before setting your KPIs. We'll also discuss some common pitfalls of KPIs. Namely, we'll go over three common traps people fall into when they start using KPIs and how you can avoid them. And finally, we'll share some of our own favorite KPIs as examples for you to consider when doing this on your own. If you're interested in learning more about KPIs and the positive impact they can make on your company, then this is one episode you won't want to miss. There's a lot of actionable advice in this episode, so grab something to write with because you're going to want to take notes. As always, I'll be back on the other side to wrap up any loose ends. So without any further ado, here's our conversation with James and Garrett.
Hello and welcome back. It's James Kennedy here, CEO at ProcurementExpress.com, where we help hundreds of companies safely spend billions of dollars each year. Again, this week, I am joined by the secret CFO, Garrett Carraher. Garrett, how are you this week?
Very good, James. Very good. All excited today. Excited to be talking about, I know you're one of your favorite subjects, KPIs, and one that I know will drive any business. And also excited about going to MicroConf next weekend. I think it's on. So looking forward to seeing Rob and Mike at that. Should be really good. It's over MicroConf Europe. So it's over in Croatia. So we might see some dragons from Game of Thrones, you know.
Yeah, that should be good. MicroConf is a conference for sort of bootstrap tech founders, and Garrett and I are fans of those guys. Startups for the Rest of Us podcast is a podcast they have. If you enjoy this content, you probably enjoy that content. But you know what I enjoy even more than that? You're dead right, is KPIs. Garrett, I think they're amazing, fantastic. It's like programming people to keep holding them account. So what's a KPI?
What is a KPI exactly?
So KPI, key performance indicator, and it's just a number that everyone agrees on that you're trying to improve in your business. It might be a financial number, might be to do with your employee happiness or your customer happiness. It might be a time that you are turning around support tickets. It could be anything that you can write down as a single number is a KPI. And some businesses have what they call a true north metric, which is one metric which drives, you know, basically the whole company together. And what I like about KPIs is that if you have that true north number, so for example, in our case, it might be the number of purchases which are successfully completed each week. Every department can kind of get behind that number and say, okay, this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to drive more successful purchases every week. And it lines, it makes it very clear in black and white whether you're succeeding or not. And then you can break that down into further departments. So how do you know whether you have got a good KPI or not, Garrett?
Well, a lot of people might use, and this is what I use for a lot of kind of when you're setting an objective, it's important to follow the SMART rules. So SMART stands for, you know, specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time limited. So we can just run through those in the context of KPIs, because I think they're super important. Otherwise, you're going to end up with KPIs which are really, you know, a mismatch or, you know, meaningless, and you could even drive your business the wrong way. So if we can just run through those. The first one is specific. So if we think about specific, you know, one I like to always think about, because I worked in many businesses which had inventory, is to think about someone, and this is a key thing, because this holds up your cash. It ties up a lot of a business's cash. And the problem with inventory is it can become obsolete. It can get misplaced, which means it gets stolen. And different things can happen to inventory. It can lose its value. It get damaged, you know, through maybe water damage or a fire. And this has happened to a lot of businesses I've been in. So you really want to minimize your inventory. But if I said to you, James, you know, KPI is I want you to decrease our inventory. That really is, you know, meaningless because it's not specific. So what I need to say to you is what percentage or what value do I want to get our inventory down to? So that's really about being specific. So it's important when you're setting your KPIs to initially to be very, very specific to, so people understand what you're talking about. Then the second thing is, of course, that must be measurable. So it's no point in saying, you know, we're going to increase our customer satisfaction rating by 10%. Like, how do you measure what it was initially, and how accurately can you measure what it's going to move to? How frequently can you measure that? And do you have enough customers even to get feedback from to be able to measure that? So there's no point in having a specific goal that's not also measurable. So it must also be able to, you know, have an easy and way that you can measure what's going on and tie that back to the specific goal you're looking for. Next, it must be achievable. So, you know, if I went to someone and said, I want you to decrease our inventory by 50%, or I want our customer satisfaction rating to increase by, you know, 100%, is this really achievable? So it's difficult to know, you know, it can be, you know, this is something you might argue with the other person, because obviously if I was talking to someone else, they're going to look for an easier goal, you know, they're going to say, well, you know, why don't we decrease the inventory by 2%, you know, and you're going, 2%, you know, is that a lot? Is that best practice? What are we at currently? What's the market at? You know, if I look at other companies in our same industry, what's their best practice? How much inventory are they holding? You know, can we, you know, it's important to be able to back up this stuff as well, back up the numbers. There's no point in saying, you know, like I can think of companies where you could easily decrease the inventory by 50%, but I know this is right because I can back it up with the numbers. Whereas in other companies, if you said to them, decrease the inventory by 5%, that could be a huge goal for them. So it must be achievable. And then that must be able to be backed up by some kind of workings that people, you know, everyone agrees with. You know, that does make sense. And I know where you're coming from. And okay, it is a challenge, but it is achievable. The next thing we think about when we think about the SMART is it must be relevant. So there's no point in giving a reduction in inventory to someone who works in sales, or there's no point in giving, you know, a sales target to someone who works in operations. You need to give the right KPI to the right, or the right objective to the right person in the right department, someone who can make it happen. And, you know, the examples you give there are very clear, obviously. You know, that's clearly, you know, giving an inventory reduction target to someone in sales is obviously silly. But it gets more complicated when you get into the detail and you're actually in a business and you're thinking, you know, the salesperson, they should be able to hit a better sales target, shouldn't they? Aren't they the person to hit it? But maybe they're not. Maybe it's the sales director. Why are you giving it to the salesperson? Maybe the sales director needs to lead his whole sales department to hit a sales objective, you know, to hit a turnover or revenue target, or to hit a number of calls per day, rather than giving it to one person, the one salesperson who maybe doesn't have the resources or the authority to make that happen. So that's very important. You give it to the right person who can drive it forward and make sure they're responsible for it. And finally, and an important one that some people might think only relates to projects or long-term things, is it has to be time limited as well. So we think about the inventory again, you know, we want it to decrease by 5% in 3 months. So it's very, and I want you to work on it, and you're the person to do it, and you think it's achievable. So all very specific. You can tie it back. The person knows when they have to do it, what they need to do, and who's responsible. They're the 3 W's I always like to do in any meeting I'm in, who, what, and when. So I always know, I can always tie stuff back. Because if you're ever in a meeting, James, and no one's taking notes, the meeting might never have happened.
Well, you know what? It reminds me of Oftentimes we'll sitting around having a meeting, and someone says, "I'm going to what does your goal for this quarter?" And they come up with a metric or a KPI, and then someone will say, "Well, is that smart?" And we all know what that means. And then there's normally an awkward silence, like, "Oh no, you know, actually maybe it's not time bound, or maybe I have no influence over that, or maybe it's not actually really measurable in the first place." And then it's a quick way of running a ruler over your metric and making sure that it's smart, you know, that it's going to fulfill all of those things. If it's not, then everyone knows that, go away and come up with another number, because it's not going to work.
Yeah. And yourself, James, do you have any good KPIs or good ways of thinking about KPIs that you use?
Well, I love this idea that I came across in a book called Lean Analytics, and it talks about leading and lagging indicators. So to follow on the example of the True North metric of, you know, number of successful purchases each month that we track, each department kind of have an influence over that. But it's really the number of purchases is a lagging indicator, right? So it doesn't actually cause anything. Like the way to create more successful purchases is broken down by each department differently. So in success team, that means that they are looking after the customers properly. They're getting back to responses, problems quickly. They're resolving issues. They're helping people set up their accounts. They're onboarding people fast. You know, and the faster they put a new customer onto the system, the faster they're going to create more purchases, which leads into the True North metric. And then the sales team, obviously, the more they sell, the more purchases there will be on the system. You know, and the marketing team again feeds into that, because the more leads they can provide to sales, the more purchases there will be on the system. And what happens is that one department's or the overall company's lagging indicator becomes a leading indicator for someone else. And what's leading and lagging? Well, let's take the classic example of sales, where you have your indicator is, let's say, number of new customers or gross new revenue per month. But that doesn't actually tell you what causes that. What causes that, let's say, in a typical example, would be the number of phone calls happening each day to customers or potential customers. And so your lagging indicator would be your new sales, but your leading indicator might be how many phone calls are happening each week in order to actually contact prospects and drive those sales. So what you can do then is you can quickly in a management meeting, you can go down seeing, okay, how are all my lagging indicators? Are sales where they're supposed to be? If they're not, then you drill down into that and you look at the leading indicators for it. And you say, okay, well, the reason here is that we're not having enough sales is because we're not doing enough sales calls and so on. And it's a way to not get overwhelmed with all of the numbers all of the time, but just drilling down into problem areas.
Yeah, that's a super idea. Super effective for a business, you know, to make quick changes and to actually be on top of the numbers, make stuff happen on a daily and a weekly basis, rather than waiting for your management accountant to do the reports at the end of the month and find out, oh God, we haven't spent enough on marketing and that's driven down our sales in the month.
Yeah, the post-mortem, as I call it. An accountant comes in with a worried look on his face. This word expression, I say, "Look, oh, you're not going to like this." "What do you mean I'm not going to like it? I thought it was a great month." Oh, that's not what you want.
That's not what you want. So you need to obviously switch accountants there, James. That's clearly the problem, because anytime I go into a meeting, I have a smile on my face and people know even if the numbers are terrible, I will make them happy and tell them the way forward as only a commercial accountant can. But that's very interesting. So we've talked about the smart, we've, you know, what our KPIs, we've talked about smart, we've talked about leaning and lagging. Something I want to bring up now is, what KPIs should you be thinking about for your business? Well, when you think about KPIs for your business, you need to think about what area your organization must perform well in if it is to succeed. So, you know, that's going to be very individual and very bespoke for every company. So when you think of your company, you'll have to think back and think, okay, where do we need to succeed? So if you're a customer-facing business, and well, all businesses have customers, obviously, but if you're really dealing with them, like if you're a service business and you're dealing with them on a daily basis, you know, maybe it's customer satisfaction is key. If you're a business who's just saying it sells out products, and maybe a food business who's buying in or manufacturing, processing different products and just sending them out, maybe it's delivery and operational is where you need to succeed and get them out the door quickly to supply into the shops. And, you know, maybe you're only doing it, you're doing a contract deal once a year. So it doesn't really matter if your customer's happy or not. It's once a year you're doing a contract deal And after that, you just need to make sure you have it in the shops on time so the shop can sell it. And that's what they're looking for. That's their KPI is the number of deliveries on time, number of stocks that sent back, number of damaged goods, you know. That's the kind of things that it's important for a business like that. So, you know, every company or every business must set their own critical success factors. And from then they can derive the correct KPIs for their particular business. So that's something they need to work on, something you need to spend time on. And over time, your KPIs will probably change as your business changes and you find out which are best. But from your experience, James, what makes an effective KPI?
Well, there's one thing that you need that really cuts through the wheat and the chaff on a KPI, which is, does this KPI drive change? Will something different happen if the number's off? If it doesn't, you may as well not track it, because what's the point of it? It's not driving change. There's no purpose. It's just keeping you happy. And I'll give you an example of this, because sometimes it can be for good reasons or bad reasons. So we, over the last year, had identified that part of our application was slower than we would like, and by an index called AppDex, which is a sort of a technical index. It gave us an AppDex score of 8.5, which was okay, but it wasn't as good as we wanted it. A good score would have been up over 9, 9.5. And we tracked that almost daily, actually. We tracked that number for a period of 6 months. Came from 8.5, 8.6, 8.7, 9, up 9.4, 9.5. Now it's steadily at 9.5 for the last 3 months. So it was driving change at the start, in that, you know, our engineers started focusing on performance issues and making the app faster and changing the architecture and improving the servers that we used and the database and so on. And after a while, they actually achieved that objective, and the goal has now doesn't drive change anymore. It just, it's static. It's good. It's already world class, which is good. We have to keep an eye on it in case it dips down again, but there's no point in tracking it if there's nothing to be done, just if you're reporting it, but no action is taking on after that.
Yeah, that's super important. Yeah, to really make sure the KPIs, review even the KPIs, and understand that they're really driving the business forward.
Mm. So what are the big pitfalls with KPIs? I mean, can you go over the top of KPIs, or where do people go wrong with them?
Yeah, well, if number areas here, if we think about, you know, potential pitfalls, a number of key areas that stand out for me. Some first one is, like, not enough performance measurements are set. So if you think about it, there's a famous phrase, you know, what gets measured gets done. And I've actually seen this in the business I'm working in recently, where some of the employees might have been recording, just a service business, and some of the employees weren't recording all their time to the correct jobs. So there'd be a job done, the employee wasn't really putting in all their time. There should have been like 160 hours per month, or roughly, based on the number of weeks and days in the month. And in the calendar month, and they weren't really recording enough hours. And that was a real problem for us, because, you know, we weren't attributing the correct costs to the correct jobs, and we weren't understanding our profit. So when you think about that, it's important then, you know, once we started measuring that, and I said to the, you know, I was able to give feedback to the manager and basically say, hey, you know, these people aren't recording their hours. Suddenly their hours went up and they all recorded their hours correctly. So that just shows you the effectiveness of what gets measured gets done. And that happens with the KPIs as well, because when you're thinking about a KPI, it's important to set the right KPI for the right people, what you want them to do. So a sales target for your sales team, that will help them to drive the sales forward. But are they selling to the right people? Are they selling the right product? Are they selling at the right margin? So you need to understand what other KPIs need to be in there, because if you're not measuring the margin, what might happen with a lot of salespeople, and we all know this from experience, is they will cut the cost as much as they can until maybe even making a loss. But that's not their KPI. They don't care. But a KPI for them is the number of sales calls, the number of sales to close per week or per month or per year if it's big contracts. And, you know, you need to really tie that back in, that, you know, not only are they selling and the revenue's going up, but also we're making a profit on these particular jobs, because that can get lost in the mix. That can actually lend back to ops, and suddenly ops are looking and they're making a loss. And then you find out suddenly, hey, you know, the sales team were incentivized or were being measured on making sales, but not on where we're actually making a profit. The next thing we might think about in pitfalls for KPIs is too many. So you can have a ton of KPIs. So again, for salespeople, it might be number of sales calls, number of calls closed, different areas like that, number of calls per region, number of calls per hour, stuff like that. But, you know, are we ranking them importance? Which is the most important there? Is it number of calls per hour or the number of calls that have closed? So you need to think about that as well. So they might say, I'm hitting 4 out of 5 of my KPIs. You know, I'm hitting that target each day. But you might go back and say, yeah, but the one KPI you're not hitting is you're not closing them. And that's the one we care about. You're making calls. You're making a number of calls every month, every hour. You're making calls to different regions. You're making calls to new suppliers or leads we're giving you. But actually, you're not closing any of them. And so, you know, even though you might have four out of the five KPIs being hit, when you actually look at it, it's not driving the business forward. It's not doing what you really want it to do. So it's super important to make sure you rank the KPIs. Even if you have a lot of KPIs, you rank them by importance and you understand which ones are key for the business to really drive it forward. Again, another one might be the wrong performance measurements, the wrong things being measured. So an example might be if we think of a luxury producer of cars or luxury goods, is it really that important that to keep an eye on cost? Well, cost is important in any business, but for luxury business, it's probably not as important because their differentiation is where they're making their is their strategy. So, you know, in some businesses, cost is key. So if you think of businesses where, say, Amazon or businesses like that, where they're selling products and like you're going to them because they're the cheapest. They're the cheapest for a lot of stuff. They have a lot of stuff there, but they're also the cheapest nearly on everything. And you're buying your products off them. That's what their strategy is. Whereas you think of someone like Mercedes-Benz or Hermes, the luxury provider of handbags, they're not really focused on cost. People are going to them. They don't want the cheapest handbag. They want the most exclusive handbag. If they're going to Mercedes-Benz, they want a car that has status and also reliability. But I suppose they're on reliability, they're good Toyota as well, maybe not so much in recent years, but they're really looking for status and exclusivity. And even looking at cars like Ferrari and that, they don't really care about the cost. You know, if the cost dropped by 20 grand, are they going to sell more? Probably not. Really, they're going to, really the key thing for that kind of business is the exclusivity. And that's what they're looking for. So
Gareth.
Yep.
So what would you say is the best, what was the best KPI you've ever deployed in a business?
The best KPI, one of the best KPIs was we had a business, a service business, and we're looking at number of customer complaints, open customer complaints. So when we looked at that, we could see if the customer complaint wasn't going to close within a certain period of time, we knew that this was going to mean a cancellation by the customer in the longer term. So it was key then to have these customer complaints dealt with and closed off within a short period of time, and then we knew that was going to keep our profit and our revenues high. What about yourself, James?
Definitely the NPS score. So the NPS score is Net Promoter Score. It's a fancy way of just surveying all a set of people, could be your customers, your employees, how likely are you to recommend our product or service? And it's a good question because it's, if you ask them, you know, do you like our service? Do you not like our service? That's a bit vague, but how likely are you to recommend the service? Indicates whether they think it's a good service, because you wouldn't recommend something you don't like or think is good. But on the other hand, it's also specific because you think, well, would I actually recommend? Sort of crystallizes it. So it's a good industry standard, and the, you know, best NPS scores, they range from minus numbers all the way up to 70 or 80. It's not actually a out of 100 score, it can go minus as well. But it's very useful because what we do is, for example, every 3 months, we ask our customers, how likely are you to recommend our product? People respond on that. And we get a baseline then of how happy our customers are with the product. And we track that on a weekly basis. And then we know if that goes down, something's up in the state of Denmark. So if our NPS dips down below 30, we know that something's up. So we start to look at the server configuration to make sure the app is fast enough. We start to look at the success number of open success tickets or any problems. We start to look and see if we've released any engineering features that had problems with them. And we dig into that and say, well, what is this? And we also, to be proactive about it, we also think if the score is low, we say, hold on, what have we done for our customers recently? know, how can we actually make them a bit more delighted? Have we improved anything for them, delivered a new feature, written them a special piece of content for them, or sent them, you know, the best customer something in the post to say thanks, or, you know, a range of different things. And that score, that number, although it's an intangible, it crystallizes into a black and white number, which you can focus. And we're actually surprisingly sensitive in terms of if there are problems, oftentimes the NPS will be the first thing that we see. And after that, we wrap it up, dig into it.
Very good, James. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was great. I love this topic, Garrett. We could talk about it for hours.
I think there's a future topic down the line, James. Is there? We could probably do another one on something on this area again. I think it's super useful, you know.
Related to this is the patented fighter pilot program that we use in Procurement Express. And it's somehow related to KPIs. It's a brilliant quality system. It's great. So I would love to talk to you about that. Make you listen to me talking about our quality system, as well as our listener, whoever he can listen to, or he or she can listen to it as well. But it's a very, very cool system. It's a system for improving quality in almost any area of a business. And it's related to KPIs. So let's do that next time, Garrett.
Cool.
All right. So from me, James, and Garrett, the Secret CFO, until next time, we'll see you then.
Thanks very much. Bye.
All right, folks, there you have it. That wraps up our conversation with James and Garrett. They shared a ton of valuable insights and advice today about the impact key performance indicators can have on your company. We also shared some tools and resources, which will all be linked up in the show notes. Don't forget to click on one of those links to get a free chapter from the book Profit Leaks by James Kennedy and Garrett Carher. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Please consider subscribing, sharing with a friend, or leaving us a review in your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, best of luck in all that you do, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Gross Profit Podcast.